That's lucky news for now. John.
Thank you, Femi. So as I said, we're on our way to Pluto. Here in the studio is Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's an astrophysicist, director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History just uptown. He's author of a new book called The Pluto Files, The Rise and Fall of America's Favorite Planet. I should say, you're also the host of Nova Science Now on PBS, which is a production of our partner, WGBH, up there in Boston. Neil, your book, The Pluto Files, I didn't know what to expect. I was thinking, oh, if astrophysicist is going to talk about some arcane thing because he's trying to get a grant, who knows? But this is such a personal story about how you decided, based on valid astrophysical evidence, to downgrade Pluto's status in the exhibits at the Rose Center when the $250,000 renovation happened, which you led. And the outcry that happened tells a story of culture, of astrophysical mythology and science that you've put in this book, The Pluto Files. Congratulations. It's a great read and an amazing story.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I was in the middle of it. In fact, writing it was catharsis for me because all of these, you know, after we put up that exhibit and Pluto was sort of reorganized in a way unfamiliar to people's elementary school training about how the solar system should look. There was Pluto. We grouped it with other icy bodies in the outer solar system, and that made a page one story of the New York Times where it said, Pluto not a planet, only in New York. And that's when the hate mail started coming to my office.
And it wasn't the hate mail from physicists.
Well, there was a little bit of that, but the most disgruntled among the letters was from third graders and others from elementary school that had just learned the nine planets.
And for someone who is the head of the Rose Center at the American Museum of Natural History, third graders, that's your demo, dude. Right? You can't be angering the third graders.
So there they were, just pouring out their feelings and their thoughts on this decision. And this went on for years and years and years. And what was fascinating to me was the extent to which people just chose up sides and started, you know, fighting about it with each other on blogs. And then my name would be brought in and dragged through the mud. But then, you know, then praised by some who said, look, get over it. You know, their science is pushing forward.
The irony here, of course, and there's so many wonderful ironies in this story that I want to get into, is that a little girl was the one who suggested the name Pluto back when Percival Lowell at the Lowell Observatory it was discovered at the Lowell Observatory in 1930.
Indeed, Lowell was of the moneyed Lowells from New England.
That's right.
Went to Arizona,
yep.
Built an observatory on a mountaintop, called it, of course, the Lowell Observatory.
Oh, there you go.
And he died before the search for the famous Planet X of the day was completed. Clyde Tombaugh was the one, 24-year-old Midwestern farm boy, amateur astronomer, came in, did a brilliant systematic survey of the night sky, found Pluto, and it was named by an 11-year-old girl in England. And who was very well connected.
Right.
Her father was like head of the Cambridge Library, friends with Astronomer Royal. And she had just learned about mythology and that Pluto was the god of the dark, distant underworld.
Now, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto in some sense was a natural for the next planet. But for people in the United States, the connotation of Pluto back in the 1930s didn't have much to do with astrophysics.
No, not at all.
What was it?
Yeah, in the 1920s, there was a widely advertised mineral laxative called Pluto Water with the slogan, when nature won't, Pluto will. So nobody in America is thinking, let's name this thing Pluto. That would create laughter among anyone listening.
So the fact that Pluto was downgraded, you know, in your era, gave an indication of just how far up the mountain Pluto had climbed and just how outraged people were that it was going to be downgraded. Tell us some of the science of the downgrading and why the International Astrophysical Union, I believe, eventually confirmed your decision.
Yeah, well, Pluto is just odd in every measurable way. There's seven moons in the solar system bigger than Pluto, so it's the smallest. It's mostly made of ice by volume, so heat from the sun would evaporate it if it got close, like Earth distance to the sun. It would grow a tail. Mm. And, that, you know, what kind of behavior is that for a planet? That's just misbehaving.
It's more like lint than a planet, really.
And its orbit is so elongated that it actually crosses the orbit of Neptune. No other planet crosses anybody else's orbit. But the orbit is tipped out of the plane of the solar system.
All right, but the third grader in me wants to say, yeah, but it has a moon.
That's right. So do some asteroids.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
Yeah, well, there you go. So you add up all the data and you find out that actually Pluto is an odd planet but a very well-behaved version of its new species that have been discovered for it. These other bodies in the outer solar system discovered in the 1990s and continuing to this day, they all have weird orbits tipped out of the plane. They're made mostly of ice. And so, really, Pluto, rather than being an odd planet, is a very normal-looking frozen body in the outer solar system, our reorganization of it.
The first observed member of a family of objects that are way out there, including this thing, the Oort cloud, I believe.
Well, Oort cloud is yet another sort of family, even farther out. So this one we call the Kuiper Belt, named for an astronomer at mid-century, Gerard Kuiper, a theorist who predicted there'd be this reservoir of icy bodies in the outer solar system left over from the formation. Never got gravitationally vacuumed up by a planet because there's no big planet out there.
So, well, this book is an exploration of what Pluto means and the science of how it was discovered and how it was eventually placed into context. And, of course, it's not an unusual story. Lots of objects in the heavens had very different kinds of contexts as we understood science better and better and better. But what I'm most interested in is your relationship with the third graders. Has that improved?
Yes, it has. Thanks for asking. Oh, by the way, I think third graders were linked to it because of the dog. That's about when you start playing with Disney characters. The dog.
Right.
The dog, Mickey's
Pluto. Yep.
Dog.
I got it.
Pluto. Because you go to Europe, kids don't care. Adults don't care. It's only in America did they care on this level. So I blame Disney for it all, first of all.
And Disney named Pluto as an afterthought. It was kind of a catchy name.
Disney first sketched the dog in 1930. So the dog and the cosmic object have the same tenure in the hearts and minds of Americans.
That's interesting.
This is part of the complication here. So the third graders back then were angry. Third graders today are much more consoling because they were born into the era of Pluto as a reorganized object. And so my letters from third graders today are a little more sort of understanding and accepting.
To Plutophiles young and old, this book is dedicated to, and it begins with this letter, which I'm gonna butcher, but I cannot resist reading it. It's dated 3/26/08, just about a year ago. Dear Dr. Neil Tyson deGrasse, at first, remember all of those kids that sent you bad letters? Well, I want to apologize. All the things that we were wrong about, we're sorry about giving you mean letters, saying we love Pluto but hate you. I'm very sorry. It'll be okay. Taylor, age 7. I mean, get out.
Yeah. It's totally, and it's the cutest thing. And whilst many letters I've transcribed, there's some letters that we scanned in because they're scrawled in crayon and you just feel the kid trying to communicate. And it wasn't just the kids. There were grown-ups and professionals who chose sides as well. And we have their correspondence captured there.
Well, it's certainly one of the great saves in astrophysical history, your career here with the third graders. And it's chronicled in the Pluto Files. Neil deGrasse Tyson, thanks so much for joining us.
He, of course, is
the host of Nova Science Now on PBS, a production of WGBH, our partners in Boston, and the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. Oh, man. So that's a great discussion. We're also talking about creating a bad bank that's going to buy up all the toxic debt and mortgage securities from the regular banks. One listener suggests calling it the Federal Suppository Bank because it's one big pain in the you-know-what. What should we call this bank? Give us some suggestions. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. We're always on. If you missed anything, take our podcast to go. You can subscribe at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. Adore Udoji's away. I'm John Hockenberry. This, of course, is The Takeaway.